So I was raised by Christian, church-going parents. I was actually, unlike many people, I was baptized twice as a kid. I was baptized as a baby in the Episcopal Church, and then I was baptized again as a 10-year-old boy when my parents started attending a Baptist church. And I think what happened was they knew the unbelievable failure in the first place in my life, and they switched churches to see if, you know, they could get a warranted baptism or something like that. And the truth is, neither one of them worked. But having been raised in that kind of church-going setting, I knew a lot about Jesus, a lot about Christianity and the truths of the Bible. And because I had been told all of my life that I was a Christian, I believed I was a Christian. And so as a young teenager, it was weird because I was unbelievably messed up. Whatever term you can find, I was one of those rotten apples. I was a troublemaker. The truth is, many of my friends' parents didn't want their kids hanging around me. You know, I was that guy. And yet, I consistently told my friends, as we were hanging around doing all the messed up stuff we did in those days, I told them that I was going to heaven and they weren't. Now that was crazy talk. I was claiming a belief in something that actually made no difference in my life at all. That was unbelievable. It made no sense. And yet, I often see this in Christianity today all around our world. I actually see a ton of people who claim belief in all of the teachings and all of the promises of Jesus, yet their lives appear to be no different whatsoever from all those who make it clear they don't believe in Jesus. That's crazy. How does that make sense? Why does this happen? Well, that's what our conversation is about this weekend. We're in a series called Breaking Through. And if we're going to break through and really experience the reality of Jesus and God and his promises in our life, we have to break through what I call empty faith. And it starts with a reality that I think most of us can understand. Everyone has beliefs. Everyone does. Everyone has beliefs, but not everyone really believes. And there's a big difference between those two things. The truth is, tons of people here have beliefs about Jesus and beliefs about God and beliefs about the Bible, and they're the right ones many times, and yet very few believe in those things in a way that changes their life. This is one of the huge obstacles to having a relationship with God and experiencing the fullness of God's promises. So many come here and go, how come it's not working for me? How come I'm not experiencing? I'm buying into what you're saying, you know? I'm accepting the belief about God and about the Bible and about Jesus. Nothing's happening. How come? And the obstacle is that we tend to accept beliefs about Jesus and his promises, but we aren't genuinely believing in them. And there's a huge difference between having a belief and actually believing. And so I thought I'd share with you the difference, because if you're newer here, I'm trying to grow in this relationship myself. And so as I dig in and discover more, I try and share conversations about them with you so that it might be relevant in your journey. And the first difference I find between beliefs and believing in is head versus heart. Head versus heart. You can have a belief about a lot of things in your head. You know, you can believe it to be true academically and accept it philosophically, without it in any way changing your real life. But when you believe not about something, but believe in something, it engages your heart. And when your heart is engaged, your choices change, your behaviors change, your passions change, your actions change. An example of this is clear. You do any poll around the world and you're going to find that the majority of people claim they believe there's a God. But that belief doesn't in any way generally affect how they live. They live like everyone else does because, see, it's a head thing. However, there are some people, maybe you've met some, maybe you are one, who believe in God with all of their heart, and because of it, it changes everything about how they live. I'm curious, which one do you think best describes you? There's another difference I find between belief about and believing in, and it's the external versus the internal. When you have a belief about something, then what you try and do, and it's you doing, is you try and line up your life to match it. And there are a lot of people who start going to church, go, oh, I guess, you know, I need God in my life. I guess the whole God thing's right and Bible, I guess if I go there, maybe it'll help me out. Maybe he'll start giving me some wishes and answering some prayers. And so what we do is we start adjusting our outside life, right? Start changing. I'll go to church instead of not going to church. I might read the Bible. I might give. I might do all these different things, and we adjust the outside. But the inside is totally the same. It's got the same doubts and the same emptiness and the same discontentment and the same sense of meaninglessness and insignificance, and all of that's in there. And so it's all on the external. But when you believe in Jesus, when you believe in him and trust him, it changes you on the inside. No longer are you, because of duty to get something from God, adjusting the outside. Now all of a sudden it becomes the consuming desire of your life to know him, to pursue him, to live for him, to experience him. There's another difference between belief about and believing in that I see, and it's independence versus dependence. You see, when we have a belief about something, we're still able to be independent from that belief. When we believe in something, we become totally dependent on it. Again, this is how many are in Christianity. They have a belief about God, a belief about Jesus, a belief about the Bible, a belief about love, a belief about forgiveness, a belief about the church, but their life isn't dependent on them. It's still independent. I mean, you look at their day-to-day living, their month-to-month living, and it's like, okay, how is your belief in those things altering your life at all? You're just living independently of this. But when we genuinely believe in Jesus and his promises, we know that we can't live without him. And so we seek to live in him on a daily basis, because it's the only way we can live. It's full dependence. I'm just curious, which one's true of you? So many people walk out of church and they're exactly the same as they were before they came in. Church was a thing to do, a thing to tack on. Check, check. But they're not fully dependent upon the God, the Jesus, the truth we're talking about. That's why they don't experience God's promises. And there's another difference between belief about and believing in, and it's the fact that one leaves us dead and the other allows us to experience living. And that might sound harsh and a little bit overstated, but it's really not. When we just have a belief about something, it doesn't change our lives in any way. It's a dead belief. It's an empty belief. But when we genuinely believe in something, it changes us. It brings the belief to life. I think a good example of this is what we're getting ready to celebrate in a couple weeks, the resurrection of Jesus, you know, Easter. There are a lot of people who have a belief about the resurrection. Yeah, I buy it. You know, Jesus rose again, yeah. Pretty good evidence of that. But they aren't experiencing the resurrection life. Not changing them at all. But then there are those who genuinely believe in it. They actually entrust their total lives to it, and as a result, they experience new life. It's a big difference. Everyone has beliefs, but not everyone genuinely believes, which brings about a result. Many people have beliefs that make no real difference in their lives. And this is what I find as a pastor in church settings. People come in and they're trying to find change and trying hope, and they're trying to find, you know, forgiveness and all these other things. And so they start tacking all these new beliefs on. Okay, I'll believe that. I'll believe that. I'll believe that. I'll have a belief about that. I'll have a belief about that. And they start readjusting life, but nothing in their life really changes. And so ultimately, you know what they do? They go, one more quick fix that didn't work, and they split. And if you only knew, in my 28 years as the senior pastor of this church alone, how many tens of thousands of people have come in and left saying it doesn't work. Look at belief about stuff doesn't work. Believing in can be transformative, which is true of you. This is what the Bible says, by the way. It's not me making stuff up. Look at James chapter 2, verses 17 and 19. In the same way, faith by itself, with no real sign it's making a difference in your life, if it's not accompanied by action, life change, that faith is dead. It's empty. So someone will say, they try and justify themselves, well, you have your faith, but I have my deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, without life change, without it making a difference in your life, and I'll show you my faith by how it changes me, by what I do. You believe that there's one God? Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. What? The demons, the authors of darkness in this world, the ones, you know, really messing with us in destructive ways, they have beliefs about Jesus. They have beliefs about God. They have beliefs about truth, and it changes them not at all. It's only when we start believing in, entrusting ourselves to Him and surrendering ourselves to Him, that life change happens. I'll give you an example. There are tons of people who talk about how they have beliefs about morality, but they live immoral lives. Met those people? They have beliefs about telling the truth, they say, but anytime it's necessary, they have no problem lying. It's because, you see, they have beliefs about it, but they're still independent of it. They're not dependent on it. They're not bound by it. It's not one and the same with their life. It's dead. It's not living. It's head, not heart. And as a result, there's no real difference. Do you relate at all to this? I have to be honest with you, I do. Hey, here's the truth that really challenges me as we move in the conversation. When we genuinely believe in Jesus, not just believe about Him, when we genuinely believe in Jesus, our lives genuinely change. Is yours? I mean, Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says it, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, he said, look at, in light of the fact that you have decided to genuinely believe in Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, and all the life change that comes with it. It's really, Romans 12 is talking about everything that was said in Romans 1 through Romans 11. He says, therefore, since you're believing in that, man, your life should change. You should offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is true and proper worship. I mean, if you're really believing in this, your whole life should be consumed by it. And then he says in verse 2, you should no longer be conforming to the pattern of the world. You shouldn't be anything like those people who haven't believed in Jesus and His truth. Instead, you should be transformed, totally changed, made totally different by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, good, pleasing, and perfect. Wow, this challenges me. A great example of it for me, I like to see picture, I love story. In the Bible, the great example of it is the story of Paul. You might have heard of him as St. Paul, Paul the Apostle, whatever. Wrote a lot of the New Testament. He's the one that wrote Romans 12, but he tells a part of his story that really helps us to see the change that occurred in him when he went from believing about God, he was a really religious guy who believed all the right things, to when he became a person with a relationship with God because he started believing in those truths. Big difference. You can read it. I hope you'll read it on your own. There's a bunch I'll give you in this conversation that I hope you'll take into your own, but in Philippians 3, 4 through 14, I just want to point out some things that changed. And here's why. I have to look at these things in me. Have these changed in me? And often when I'm struggling to experience God in my life, it's because these changes aren't being real in my life. I'm believing about instead of believing in. And I bet this is true of you too. One of the things that changed in Paul's life when he went from believing about to believing in was he went from confidence in self, even in his religion, even in all the things he tried to do for God. He went from confidence in self to confidence in Christ. That's the difference between believing something about him and actually believing in him. Let me just read the story. Let his words do the talking. Philippians 3, starting with the second part of verse 4. If anyone else thinks he has reasons to put confidence in the flesh, man, you think you're living for God. You think you're doing it. You think you're really, you know, earning the gold star with him. You're nothing compared to me. He says, I've done more. I was circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel. I was of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. Not just a Hebrew, dude, a Hebrew of Hebrews. In regards to the law, you want to know what I did with God's law? Man, did I work it hard. I became a Pharisee, a teacher of it, a leader of it. As for zeal and passion, are you kidding me? I took it, what I believed about God, and I persecuted everyone who was different. I persecuted the church. As for legalistic righteousness, oh, I was faultless. I lived up to the law perfectly. But whatever was to my profit back then, I now consider loss because I found Christ. What is more, I consider everything I used to value a simple loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I've lost everything I used to live for. I consider it garbage that I may know Christ, gain Christ, and be found in him. Not having a righteousness of my own, that's what I used to do. Not having a righteousness earned by trying harder to live up to the law, but having a righteousness which comes through believing in, faith in Christ. That's the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith, believing in him. Wow, that's powerful to me. Let me ask you, what more defines your journey? Doing everything you can to live for God? Or giving every ounce of yourself to God? There's a big difference between those two. If you find that you're not experiencing God's promises and God's touch in your life, the problem may be that you're trying really, really hard, but you're not trusting him enough. You're trying to live up to your beliefs about what it means to be a Christian and to be like Jesus, but you're not believing in him to do that in you. This was what Paul experienced. But then he went from confidence in himself, trying hard, to confidence in Christ, trusting Jesus. Have you made that transition? Another big change I see in this story in Philippians 3 was he went from talking about God, which is what we do a lot, right? We talk about him, we sing about him, we declare him and all this different stuff. He went from talking about God to knowing and experiencing God and his promise. Big difference. If I'm really honest about me, my talk about God is bigger than the reality of my experience of God. Can you relate to that? And I talk about his power, but what's the reality of my experience of his power? I talk about his promises, what's the reality of my experience of his promise? There's a big difference between talking and experiencing. And it comes to this issue of, am I just believing about these things or am I believing in? I need to have a breakthrough. For most of his life, Paul had all the right words about God. He knew all the right things about God. He knew all the songs and all the stories and all the scriptures, but he wasn't experiencing the reality of God or his promises. And sadly, this is how many are today. But once he went from having the right beliefs to genuinely believing, everything changed for him. Look at Philippians 3:10. He says, man, I used to be really religious, believe all the right things, but now believing in Jesus, this is all I want. I want to know Christ. I want to know his power, the power of the resurrection. I want to even know his sufferings. I want to live so much for him that I suffer like he did. I want to become like him in his death so I'm no longer bound by my sin and somehow attain to the resurrection from the dead and I live this new life. And that's what believing in Jesus does. Is that you? For me, I have to look at examples. I mean, what are some of the changes he experienced when he went from empty faith to genuine faith? Well, let me just walk you through a couple, and I hope that you'll go through these on your own this coming week. There's no way I can download the whole thing to you, but the first thing he experienced was pardon. Pardon, that's just a synonym for forgiveness. He went from being ruled by guilt to being free from that guilt. He actually, in Romans 8, wrote, "There's no guilt whatsoever to those who are in Jesus." Wow, that's believing in it. Ephesians 1:7, he talks about this. But I have to tell you, I know a lot of people, a lot of us, who talk about forgiveness, but we still beat ourselves up over our failures, don't we? We still beat ourselves up over our guilt. We're still driven by our shame. There's not a day almost that goes by where we don't see ourselves through that lens. And you know the problem is, right? If we want to experience genuine forgiveness, we have to go from believing that Jesus forgives to believing in Jesus' forgiveness enough to actually confess our sin to him and to receive his forgiveness, to walk in it. Have you, or did you wake up this morning already defeated by your guilt? Let's throw away belief about stuff, and let's start believing in Jesus. It's life-changing. There's another example of Paul. He started experiencing God's presence. Up until this time, he had a belief about God's presence. You know, all these theological terms, God is omnipresent, universally present. Oh, he's there, he's there, he's there. But he wasn't experiencing it or living it. But then when he trusted Jesus, he did. You see, when we genuinely believe in God's presence, I mean, believe in it, not about it, you know what it does? It changes everything. Think about how David illustrated this in Psalm 23, verse 4. Though I walk in the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you're really with me. But we live in fear constantly, don't we? Aren't we shaped by fear? I mean, it shows in our political discussions. It shows in our personal discussions. It shows in our spiritual discussions. It's all fear-driven. Which means we have a really strong belief about God's presence. We're just not experiencing it. Because when you experience it, you don't live in fear anymore. It's the difference between David before Goliath and everyone else. Everyone else was afraid of Goliath because he was bigger and stronger and more prepared than them. And David goes, look it, I'm a kid, but God can take him down. Here we go. You see how we have beliefs about, but we aren't believing in? Paul had another huge change in his life. He started experiencing God's purpose. He wasn't just existing anymore, trying the best he could to earn his significance and prove his value and worth. He wasn't living for his own personal success anymore. No, he didn't have to because he found God's purpose. And it was so important to him in Acts 20, 24. He says, my life's worth nothing if I don't live for this purpose. It came from believing in. When he went from belief about to believing in, he started experiencing God's power, not just talking about it anymore. I mean, really experiencing it. He wrote about it in Ephesians 3:20. He actually said, man, it's at work in me and us. When he went from belief about to believing in, he experienced peace, no matter what his circumstances, because he knew that God's peace could be given in the midst of any circumstance. He was experiencing it in prison in this moment. When he went from belief about to believing in, he started experiencing God's provision. He wasn't just talking about it, but then working really hard to provide for himself and begging a lot. Instead, he was like really experiencing it. God, the great provider, will provide. He talks about that in Philippians 4:19. When he really started believing in Jesus, he started experiencing God's protection. He no longer had to live to protect his own hide. He could actually entrust himself to the protection of Jesus. He talks about that in 2 Thessalonians. And And there's another thing we all pursue. You know, I'm going to call it pleasure. But by pleasure, I mean where we have joy no matter what's going on in life. We have contentment no matter what's going on in life. And you know, he didn't have that before. He was one of the most anxiety-ridden religious guys. I mean, it was crazy stuff. But then when he believed in Jesus, no matter what he was experiencing, he knew he could have joy and he knew he could have contentment. He talks about it in Philippians. Here he is in prison facing his death, and he says, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice." I can be content in whatever circumstances, man, if I'm impoverished or if I'm rich, doesn't matter. Because you see, my joy and my contentment, my pleasure doesn't come from what I do. It comes from who he is. Believing in, not believing about. He also, I'll just kind of conclude it with something that covers the whole thing. He finally experienced the prize. He realized that the prize is to know God. And when you know God, he even said it in Philippians, "For me to live is Christ, to die is gain." His whole life was wrapped up in this fact that I don't live for the moment any longer. I live for eternity because I don't have a belief about God and eternity. I'm believing in God and his eternity. It changes everything. Has it for you? He went from, as we go further in the story of Philippians 3, he went from never changing at all. You know, he was just solid in his religious formulas, solid in his religious traditions. One of the reasons he was killing Christians was because Jesus came and changed up their religious traditions, and he refused to change. And that's what happens when we believe about things. We find our own comfortable package, and that's what we want. As a pastor, I've been brutalized by many people in churches who want church to be what church has always been in their life, and they want it to be done in the way they want. They want the same thing, ad nauseum. Because you see, what they've done is they found their comfortable box to live in, but God is not a box, and when you follow him, he doesn't let you live in one. I mean, he went from never changing to continually growing. Sadly, many who claim Jesus aren't growing. Now listen, this is really important. They have no new stories in their lives. The truth is, people who don't have new stories only tell old stories. Too many Christians are just telling old stories about what God once was and about what God once did, often never in their life. When we experience a new story, we want to share it. We want to tell it. Let me ask you, do you have any new stories to tell about God in your life? Any new stories about how he's present with you, how his purpose is unfolding in your life, how he's providing for you, how he's forgiving you? Are you growing? Look at what Paul said in Philippians 3, verse 12. "Not that I've already obtained it." Man, I'm not there. I have so far to go. "Not that I've already been made perfect." No. "But here's what I do, I keep growing. I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I don't consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, I forget what's behind. I don't live for the old stories. I strain towards what's ahead. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." There's a big difference between believing about and believing in. So here's the application. If we're going to really weave it into our life, and I encourage you to stay with me because this is all going to lead into communion celebration and a moment of worship. And if we're going to genuinely break through and experience God's life-changing promises, I mean, if it's going to be real instead of just talk, it starts with us placing our confidence in Christ like Paul did. Not trying harder, not digging in deeper, but by trusting him fully. I mean, to break through, we have to place confidence in Christ. We need to go from beliefs about Jesus to believing in Jesus. We need to go from being able to live without him to not being able to live without him to needing him desperately. Have you? Is that you? A lot of times we're just tacking the spiritual on so that we might get some extra cred instead of realizing I'll never be able to live without him. We need to place our confidence in Christ. Paul tells us how in Romans 10, 9 and 10. If you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart, it's in your head for sure, but you believe in your heart that God really raised him from the dead, that's where you'll experience life change. You'll be saved. For it's with your heart that you believe and are justified. Your life is changed. And then it's with your mouth you confess it. Have you ever experienced that? Because in a moment we're going to experience communion, I think it's really vital that I give each and every one of you an opportunity to go from believing about Jesus to believing in him. And so if you would, just for a moment, bow with me in a word of prayer and honor the moment. And if you're here and you're going, oh my gosh, I've believed about these things or haven't, but I want to experience the life change of believing in. Pray with me, would you? Take my words, and not out loud, but in your heart, won't you just go from believing about to believing in? Just say, Jesus, I'm confessing you right now as Lord. I'm with every ounce of my heart that I can give, I'm putting my faith in your death to forgive me of sin and your resurrection to give me new life. And I'm asking you to forgive me and save me. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, before I give you these last thoughts and we move into communion, if you just prayed with me, let me know, would you? We put together information about next steps you can take in your relationship with God. We want to give you a Bible, but we just have to know. And we made it so easy. I mean, you don't need a pen and a pencil and paper and go talk to people. All you have to do is text us just to the number 313131. It's easy. 313131. Text the message, one word, Northridge, and we'll send you that information and send you that Bible. But if we're going to really break through and experience life change, then we need to continue growing in our faith once we have faith. One of my big problems in life, and this is a big problem, is that I often in the past have believed in him and experienced his life change in my life, but then I go forward just believing about him. I have to keep growing. Look at Colossians 2, Paul says it. So then just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord by believing in him, continue to live in him. Rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, overflowing with thankfulness. Wherever we are on the spiritual journey, there's a next step of faith for us to take. And if we're going to break through empty faith, worthless faith, we need to take that step. What's your next step? What's your next step? And finally, look at Jesus' words in Matthew 6:33. Seek first God's kingdom. He was talking to people who were seeking all the wrong stuff, and he says, man, stop seeking that stuff. Seek first God and his kingdom and his way, his righteousness, and all these things that you're seeking will be given to you as well. If we're really going to break through and experience life change, our faith is going to become meaningful, then we need to, it's so important, we need to seek God and trust his promises as our first priority. But I'm going to be honest with you. I mean, come on, I know I'm a pastor, I get it. But this does not come naturally to me. I mean, working hard, trying to seize it, trying to make it happen, that comes naturally to me. But seeking God and trusting his promises is my first priority. To be honest with you, very often, I believe about God that I need to seek him first. I believe about God that his way is best, but very often I'm not believing in it. And so you know what God did? Jesus gave us a symbol to help us remember. There's a difference between believing about and believing in. And that symbol is found in communion. He says, you know, along the way, you're going to stop experiencing the reality of God because it's going to become something you believe about, but you're not trusting in. And so you need to remember. You need to remember what I did with my body represented by the bread. Look at, I gave it for you so that you could know life. Stop struggling and start living. And then he says, I need you to remember what my blood has done. It's taken the guilt and the shame away. It's made you new, but very often we're not experiencing it, so you need to remember. And so he gave us the wine, the juice. And he says, take it And so we're going to celebrate communion together this weekend so that we can remember it's not belief about, it's believing in. And the in word is really important to communion. You see, the bread outside means nothing. It's when we eat it and swallow it that it becomes meaningful. When the juice is on the outside, it's a big deal. But when we drink it, it becomes a part of who we are. And communion doesn't change us, but communion is this expression. I have believed in what Jesus did with his body by dying on that cross, and I have partaken of it, and it changed me by faith. When I eat that bread, I'm remembering. I have by faith let the blood of Jesus Christ forgive me of my guilt and my shame and my junk and make me new. And when I drink that, I'm remembering. That's what I believe in. If you're here and you've never experienced Jesus, you've never by faith appropriated him into your life, we're glad you're here. We're thrilled you're here. Keep coming. You're welcome. But you haven't yet taken his body and his blood into your life by faith. So don't take the bread or the juice. You're communicating the wrong thing to yourself, to God, to others. Just don't take it. It's not for you. No judgment whatsoever. But if you are a faithful follower of Jesus and you have and you're right with him, please, no matter where you're from or what your background or whether you're part of Northridge or not, please take that bread and take that juice and remember what believing in him has done in your life. And I'll just note this. It's not the church's job to tell you you can or can't take communion. It's your job to know, have I or haven't I taken him by faith? This is your moment to remember. So let's stand together right now. We're going to invite the people who are passing out the elements, and you're going to get a little package of elements. And I'm going to ask you to hold on to those until I come back up and we'll receive them together, okay? But right now, let's pray and ask God's blessing upon remembering. Father, I pray that you'd take this moment in time and help us to once again remember belief about never changed us, but believing in transformed us. And as we eat this bread and drink this juice, help us be reminded that it's our faith in you is what we desperately need to experience you, and experiencing you is the only thing that makes us live, and we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. The bread and the juice doesn't change us, but Jesus does. And when we've believed in him, trusted him, desperately put our faith in him, everything changes. So for that reason, and to remember, we take the bread, which represents his body, and we eat it in remembrance of him. And we drink this juice in remembrance of him. Dear Jesus, we thank you for the hope of life change. Help each of us to remember this week to believe in you, to live dependent on you, to put our whole heart in following you, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name.